Good morning. I'm Danielle Glesny, and this is the Mago Nutrition Podcast. And we are here to answer your questions and give practical nutrition strategies to help you and your family flourish. So, what we're going to talk about today is if you or someone you know has a baby, or if you get to care for a baby on occasion, this is a great episode for you. So I'm going to walk through some tips in feeding babies. And if you have already started feeding your little one, this is still a great thing to listen to. So it can also be something we can talk about setting foundation for the future. So if you have a question, we love to answer those questions. And you can head on to our website, imagonutrition.com/podcast to submit your question. So imagonutrition.com/podcast. So we love to answer questions on this podcast, but today I just wanted to talk about this topic. It's a really fun one for me. And what is interesting about this topic is we don't know what we don't know, especially when it comes to starting to feed our baby. It's like a first-time experience, obviously. And if you're like me, the only class that I took at the hospital was how to care for your infant with regards to how to swaddle, take temperatures, how to know what the cry is, you know, trying to communicate, whether is my baby hungry, or change the baby's diaper, or is the baby tired, or is the baby just fussy? What kind of things to do? So that was a really great survival class that the hospital offered. I was really thankful for that. But there's nothing that I was offered at the hospital or at the pediatrician office where you can talk about how to start introducing solid food. There's breastfeeding support classes, which I'm sure are very helpful. I really enjoyed our lactation consultants in the hospital. I don't think this is a topic that we have a lot of resources readily available. We do Google our questions as parents, and that can be somewhat helpful and somewhat frustrating or confusing. So that's why I wanted to dig into this topic a little bit today. So even though I had been working as a dietitian for 4 years prior to my first baby, there was still a lot I did not know about feeding kids. So, you know, my life and my schooling and my job was nutrition and feeding and talking about food, but still there's a lot of different things to consider when you're feeding kids versus consulting with adults. And thankfully, my coworker, she was very helpful to me. She was a little ahead of me in having children, so she pointed me to some great resources. And the passion of feeding kids just really grew inside of me. So I did my own research as well, and I got some extra training so that I could work with kids and parents and families. And so I was very thankful for my boss to let me get that extra training. So thank you to those people. and then for me, I feel it is so exciting to feed your baby for the first time. You're excited to see what their face will look like when they try something new. I was definitely surprised by the mess. I'm not going to lie. With our first one, we did pureed baby foods. So the mess was minimal compared to with our second baby, we did baby led weaning. And again, with our second baby, it started out fun. Like, he had some stronger facial expressions, and I was like, oh, I don't think he likes that food. And then around two, Carter became picky, kind of rejecting foods, and I didn't know what to do. So for most things in life, I feel that we don't address problems unless we think we have a problem, right? If it's not broke, don't fix it. So that's a quote I think I hear from my dad all the time. So for most things, yes, we wait until we have a problem. And most of the time, feeding babies starts out really fun. They start loving food right away and parents feel great besides the mess. You know, that takes a lot of effort. But then around the 1 to 2 years of age, picky eating can set in for the first time, and it's a big surprise. And parents do their best and just pray it will pass. So these tips today will help set a foundation for keeping those picky eating phases to a minimum in length. But we also want to talk about, you know, again, this is in the 6 month plus timeframe. So we'll have, you know, things to consider if you're starting to feed your baby, what nutrients are important, how to decrease food allergies, and how to help your baby learn to like new foods. So I hope you find this helpful. And again, if you know anybody that has a baby or is going to have a baby or is already feeding their baby, please send this podcast to them. Again, you just don't know what you don't know. And it can just be really helpful to have some tips to consider. And if you are walking or driving and listening to this podcast and you can't take notes, we got you covered. We will be adding these tips as a free resource to our website. So head over to our website in the next week after this, you know, podcast loads. Give Mark some time to add this to our website and get this free resource of 6 tips for introducing solid food to your baby. So with that, let's start with tip number one. So tip number one is offer foods you are eating. And so your baby really needs to watch you eat these nutrient dense foods. And they're going to be learning so much from that alone. You won't even know that, but notice or feel like it's helping. But the more you can eat with your child, instead of just watching them eat, the better. They are learning through the experience of touch, touching the food or receiving signals from you when to open the mouth for the spoon if you're choosing the pureed method. But if you are eating with them, they're learning a lot more and they're going to have just a greater depth of the learning experience when you're eating with them. Now, this is really a great opportunity to look at your diet and say, well, is it really how I want my child's to be? So if you find you're like, I'm eating a lot of processed foods or I'm eating a ton of sugar, this is your opportunity to change your taste buds and adjust to that with your child. For me, it was flavored yogurt. We were eating flavored yogurt prior to our first baby. And in the first year of life, there's really no room for added sugar. Their nutrient needs are so high in that first year of life that they really don't need anything unneeded. Like there's just not space. They're taking in so little and their needs are so high. So added sugar really is, the recommendation from the American Heart Association is 0 grams of added sugar, which might be impossible, but that is your goal. So you want to do plain yogurt, for example. And so this is when I had the opportunity to learn to enjoy plain yogurt. And it doesn't mean, you know, you just go straight from flavored yogurt to plain yogurt. That would be a really hard transition. It means that you can, smash some fruit in the yogurt. You can add kefir. That's a probiotic drink. And yes, that does have a little added sugar, but the benefits in kefir are so extreme. They have 12 probiotics. It has calcium, protein, even vitamin D added. So kefir is a great way to flavor the plain yogurt. And it's just adding a minimal sweetness for you trying to adjust to using the plain yogurt. So again, this tip number one, offering foods you are eating, your baby needs to watch you eat whole nutritious foods, is your opportunity to be eating foods together, minimizing time and effort in the kitchen, but also just improves the whole diet, the diet of the whole family. So you guys all can be built in accountability partners to really enjoy, not just tolerate these nutrient dense foods. It just takes time. So with everything, it takes time to learn new things. So That is tip number one. And tip number two is adhere to parent and child feeding rules. And so this is from Ellen Satter. I've talked about this before in this podcast, probably a while ago now. but she is a feeding expert, dietitian, I think psychiatrist too, or I don't remember her credentials, but she's internationally known. And these feeding models are taught by all dietitians that work with children. So that is kind of your base level way to prevent picky eating, but also just to set healthy habits for fostering healthy relationship with food, minimize, you know, the power struggles at the table. Again, this is when your child is a little bit older, right at 6 months is a great time to just for you to recognize what your role is and for you to teach that to your child kind of unintentionally because they're too young to really know what's going on, but they will follow your lead. So these parent and child roles are super important. It's just the first step in preventing picky eating. There's other therapies, of course, for texture or sensory based picky eating, but this is always the first thing to talk about whether this foundation is set. So the parent and child roles is the parent decides what food is offered, when it is time to eat, and where the food is served. And the child decides if he or she will eat the food and how much. So what this means is you are just putting the food and creating a non-pressure environment, ideally at the table most often, and kind of keeping a schedule routine. You know, you start off with breastfeeding and bottle feeding where you're kind of listening to hunger cues, and then you're going to just transition easily into kind of a routine for your family as far as breakfast is served at this time and snack between and lunch is served at this time and snack between and dinner is served at this time. So that when you start to eat in this type of schedule, your body naturally becomes hungry at that time. So then it's easier to maintain that schedule. And you obviously want to eat when your body is hungry. So your role as a parent is just to provide the food when the food is offered and where, so ideally at the table. And then the child gets to decide if he or she will eat the food. So we don't need to encourage. We just let them do what they will do. And we don't need to worry about how much they are eating, which is way easier said than done, let me tell you. You always think about, oh, I don't know if that was enough protein. He's going to be hungry in about 5 minutes. The time I get this meal cleaned up, he's going to ask for a snack. So we can't address all those things right now, but what your goal and job is to just maintain that schedule, and the child decides if the child is going to eat the food and how much. Again, at this time, 6 months of age, they're not doing a lot of communication. So you really have to look at those nonverbals. So when they're done, they'll be looking away from the food, pushing the food away, asking to get down. I loved those hand signals when they couldn't talk, like all done is kind of waving your both hands and more is kind of like pinching your hands, both of your hands together. So that can really help when your baby is six months to, start that. But yeah, it takes some time for them to learn those hand signals. And the parent is always a little bit better at recognizing, communication skills from the child when they're that young. So tell your caregivers kind of what, you notice as far as this is when he's done, this is what happens, or this is how he'll act. So tip number three is introduce the high allergen foods around 6 months in age-appropriate ways. And this is for kids even with a high risk for a food allergy. So a child at high risk for a food allergy is one that already has a food allergy or has eczema. So those would be maybe an increased risk for a food allergy, whether you have a high risk child or not. There are many governing bodies around the world that recommend introducing high allergen foods around 6 months. So as soon as you start, you know, you can start with those high allergen foods. And one age appropriate way would just be like thinning peanut butter in infant cereal. So just like I really like that peanut butter that you stir, because it keeps that thinner texture, and, you can mix that into the infant cereal a lot easier. Doesn't clump up. Use, you know, breast milk or, water if needed, but breast milk ideally in that infant cereal, and then, the peanut butter as well. Excuse me. So that is tip number three. And tip number four is offer foods repeatedly with variety for baby to accept new foods. Something to kind of expect is they will have a funny face, and it will look like they don't like that food. But what you want to take that as is they are learning, and doesn't mean they don't like that food. So, maybe they don't like the food, but we need to keep introducing it, because nobody likes things sometimes on the first try. So it may take 10 exposures, it may take 20 exposures, it may take 24 exposures before your child kind of looks like they're accepting the food or they're enjoying the food. And it's not torture. We're going to introduce it in a different way and offering different foods in between. So it's not like you're going to just keep putting that food in the refrigerator and pull it out, you know, until they eat and until they seem to enjoy it. No, you're really going to, kind of offer variety within the way that you, plan your meals, you know. So, if you are eating that meal again, then that's when we offer that food again to your baby. So, that is really important, just to have a lot of variety within the same food. So like carrots, for example, they can be steamed, they can be roasted, they can, you can't really serve raw with dip for 6 month olds. But you could do carrot soup, you can blend carrots with other foods to do more of like the puree texture. So take that one food and make it lots of different ways, but also have lots of new foods are in between as well. And just expect that funny face of disgust, and just know that they are just learning to like the new foods. So they have a lot on their plate. You know, not intended for that pun, but they have a lot of foods to learn to like. This is, you know, possibly a little overwhelming, which is why picky eating can sometimes set in. But anyway, so offer lots of variety, rotate, and have variety within the same food and outside with different foods. And it's also great. The next tip is to incorporate spices and herbs, except salt. And offer foods without seasoning, so your baby can learn what the new food like tastes like on its own. So carrots with some, you know, butter, for example, and then carrots with some olive oil or avocado oil, and then carrots plain, steamed, no oil at all. Fat is really good, which I jumped ahead there, but fat is really good for their brain when they're 6 months to 2 years of age. There's like 80% of brain development happening at this time. So don't be afraid to add fat to veggies. That's a great way to bring out flavor. And then spices and herbs, except salt, is also a great way to bring out flavor in vegetables, as well as just cooking them different ways. It just offers a whole new flavor, you know, roasted versus steamed, etc. And so they're forming taste preferences. So that's why we want to avoid the salt and the sugar too, is because if we do have a lot of that, then we could kind of set them up for preferring those foods. And so it's really just important to avoid the salt and look at the seasoning blends, because a lot of the seasoning blends also include salt. So like Italian seasoning, it doesn't most often. It just has like oregano and basil, and it doesn't have any salt, but there's other seasoning blends that do have salt. Sometimes it's the first ingredient. So make sure you're reading your labels. And then the last tip here for today is to incorporate high fat, iron rich foods. Okay, so I kind of already mentioned that the fat is really important for brain development. And there's also about 50% of their nutrients needed for brain development is in dairy. So high fat dairy products such as whole fat ricotta cheese, whole fat yogurt, whole fat cottage cheese, whole fat cheese. I think I probably got all the dairy there. So dairy is really great for brain development. Fat is really great for brain development. And iron is really important nutrient at this time. Iron supplies oxygen to all parts of the body. And so when your brain is growing, that oxygen is obviously really important. And it's just a nutrient that has such a high need at this time. It's hard to get it again, because the intake is so small. So you have to be really intentional about that iron. So iron is kind of an interesting nutrient because the absorption rate, it varies depending on the source. So if your iron rich food is a plant, it's typically a higher amount, but lower absorption rate. So that means you just can't absorb as much. There's things competing that kind of limit absorption. It still means you absorb iron, but you can boost that absorption by having vitamin C with it. And so that would just mean have, you know, iron fortified cereal with, you know, a fruit or a veggie, like some orange, again, in an age appropriate way. So it'd have to be kind of like a clementine orange. So no choking. And if you're iron-rich food is from the animal, it does have a higher rate of absorption, but the iron content is a little bit lower. So if you're kind of Googling iron content of foods, just know that it kind of balances out, honestly. So try not to get concerned with the content, the amount of iron in the food source, because it's just really important to have a mix of both to help with getting that iron need met at this time. So just some examples of iron-rich food: meat, iron-fortified cereals, spinach, tofu, beans, and lentils. And all of those really can be made into an age-appropriate way. I think meat is one you're like, oh no, that's a choking hazard. You really just have to cook it a certain way so it's not too tough. Cut it really, really small. You can, again, blend it with things. The tofu, the beans and lentils, those are really great mashable foods. You obviously wouldn't want to give a whole bean. That would be a choking hazard. but you want to think about how I'm doing this is I'm modifying the foods. I'm not just eliminating foods. You really have to be creative of modifying the food so that the baby doesn't choke. Because the more variety you give your baby, the more nutrition you are giving your baby. So I hope this was helpful. These are just a few tips, 6 tips to build a foundation for eating whole foods together as a family, as well as minimizing picky eating and food allergies. And just really decreasing the stress at the table for parents, because sometimes we as parents are just monitoring how much they're eating. But now you get the freedom to kind of focus on your plate and not think about is he or she getting enough. So the best indicator for that is just making sure when you go to the pediatrician office, are they maintaining growth on their growth curve? So that is the best way to determine if they are doing well at the table. And again, 6 months, you are still relying on breast milk or formula for their main source of nutrition while they're learning to enjoy these new foods. Okay. So the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends introducing solids at 6 months of age, and that the breast milk and formula is still the main source of nutrition. And so at age 1 is when, you know, you can kind of rely a little bit more on the food. So you have about 6 months, even more, if you want to continue the breast milk or the formula until 2 years, that's fine. But you have just a good window of opportunity here to supply the nutrients for the baby's brain But also just to give them so much variety in the food choices and be patient and watch them enjoy new foods. So thank you so much for joining us today. And I think we have covered it all. So I just want to say thank you to Happy Pill for our theme song, Thinking About Food. And before I leave, again, just check our website for this this free handout or free resource on the 6 tips for introducing solids. It will be uploaded shortly. Thank you so much. Have a great day.